David Greenough, take three. Three of three.
One incident I remember during the Sarawak confrontations was we were on a triplication in a little place called Bang Tapang, of no significance whatsoever. It was just happened to be adjacent to a track which led to the actual watershed of the borders. Being troop formation, we had obviously in defensive positions, and we had our stand twos and our stand downs night and morning. We had our defense traps like bells and white phosphorus grenades and everything laid out. Well, I remember this one particular evening, the troop commander, that the sentry had heard one of our alarms going off. And obviously we all stood to, lights out, standard practice. This has happened quite often before, and we thought it was nothing untoward. It could be wild hogs, pigs, or roaming dogs. Somebody thought they saw something at the head or the entrance to the actual camp itself on the track. And the troop commander went out and said he was going to investigate it. Forward of our OP or the observation post or the person watching. The troop sergeant was placed onto the automatic weapon, which is our main firepower, covering both exit and entrance to the camp itself. But this relays the part where there's bad communication, a little bit of heroism. One is very guarded as to who was at fault or whatever, but I wasn't personally involved, but laying in a defensive position with my section when I heard the automatic weapon fire a burst and somebody drop, and upon investigation it was the troop commander we had shot. A tragic accident it really was. A young lad who just joined us to begin his service career. Very tragic incident.
This is what happens with line ammunition. You've just explained that, otherwise.
What had happened there was that the troop commander had explained to the sentry, and indeed the troop sergeant who was with him, that he was going to a certain point to investigate and remained there. And if he had, all would have been well. We could have put out some illumination and discovered what had happened. But he didn't. He ventured further than where he said he was going to go, and of course the sentry and the troop sergeant, seeing something moving where there shouldn't have been someone moving, opened fire and killed it. I mean, that's the basic training. So really the sort of tragedy of it is that you do as you're supposed to do and you go no further until it's all clear to actually do it, because somebody is relying on you to actually only interpret those orders, as opposed to sort of being a little bit heroic.
Which
it proves that the training is a means to an end, and people will rely automatically on that training when it's necessary. When all else has failed, if you like, then they will resort to that training. In other words, if there is, as in this particular case, somebody seen where there shouldn't be anybody seen, and not assuming, of course, it was this particular troop commander, because he was only going to go as far as it was, he fired, and rightly so. There was no blame placed on the actual fire at all. We were very pleased to receive what was colloquially called the black box. All it basically was the infrared machine. A splendid piece of kit which we were trialling at that particular stage. Being in a defensive position, we were used every night as targets for the terrorists on their night shoots. They would come down there and just sit and try and pick us off, or at least keep us awake for a certain amount of time. And they would also attempt to infiltrate past us and quietly or whatever, despite our defensive positions. So on the arrival of, quote, the black box, of course, we could see their activities quite clearly. And there was a desperate change in their activities when you can actually pick and shoot a guy in the middle of the night, and he wonders then how you could see him. And of course, they always recovered their dead. So, having dropped the first guy or killed the first guy, his man would come and pick or attempt to pick him up. You killed him also. Then their activities certainly ceased after a couple of days of this. And it was known as local magic because we used a little bit of propaganda on the locals through their interpreters that since we had this now black box magic, then all will be finished very quickly. And this seemed to work.
Nice.
The briefing included the fact that the terrorists and the rebels had taken as hostage the official government local representative or resident of that particular area, including some further four European hostages. And they were under threat of death, I think, within the imminent future. And so it was decided to lay on the raid within 24 hours. And hence that was our particular company task to effect the release of these particular hostages.
We make one more point.
Yes. The actual release of the hostages and our arrival at Limbang had to be affected by water, by boat, principally because of the terrain. Immediately in rear of Limbang, there was high mountainous type areas and wooded areas, and there was no other major road or way of arriving at Limbang other than by the boat. Subsequent to this, we came across the residents and indeed the other hostages in Kuching at a later date, and obviously they were very pleased to see us, very much as they were on the 12th of December. But they were very kind to us and they took us out, not the whole company, I might add, but a number of the company to an evening meal in Kuching as a form of repayment for their release at Limbang.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Complete.
Yes. As far as the intelligence and information reference the rebels in Limbang was concerned, I believe it was rather sketchy. Because, and also because of the time lapse, oh, not time lapse, but in the time it was going to take before the actual hostages and their demise. And hence we had to rely heavily upon the just the information that was at hand without any major reconnaissance or information gathering. And so hence it was, or tended to be, a little bit sketchy.
So what we so are we expecting, I presume, I say just
Yes,
so
we were expecting a minor incursion or perhaps a putting down of people shouting at us, not actually firing at us. And so hence the whole thing changed. Basically on arrival from a minor furor or confrontation to yes, a major assault. So the whole thing changed from a would-be minor incident into a major frontal assault. In command of the actual, or as far as the Navy were concerned, piloting these two craft were two midshipmen from the offshore minesweepers, which had brought us up to Brunei. They did an excellent job, and in view of what happened, and using their intelligence, imagination, and initiative, I think they effected a very good landing for us, an assault for us, with the least amount of casualties. Obviously, they had not had command before of such a major sort of attack, anyway, as far as we were concerned. But then, yes, they did an excellent job.